Hallelujah. What an amazing thing it is to be in the presence of Almighty God, who has promised when two or three gather in His name that He's there in the midst. Well, it could be that someone has a cold heart here and isn't interested in meeting with God, but I guarantee we've got more than two or three that are hungry for what God has. Do I get an amen on that? Amen. He's worthy of it all. I was thinking during that song that the King of the universe, the Creator of all things, humbled Himself, came to earth, took on the form of a man, and died in my place. He died in your place. How's that possible? How is it possible that the holy God of the universe knew my sin? He knew your sin. Collectively, He knew all the sins that would ever be committed in the entire world. And 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ died once for all of them. The one who had no sin died for sinners in order that He might bring us to God. And you say to yourself, why? Why would God do that? And the only answer that can be given is love. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I want to turn this over to our friend Lisa Kratz Thomas. She's from Richmond, Virginia. First time I ever heard her speak, she was speaking to 14,000 students at something called the Liberty University Convocation. Zach, my son, who's the producer at WDCX for my radio program, played it for me. He said, Dad, you got to hear this. And I was incredibly moved hearing the story of how God brought Lisa Kratz Thomas to faith in Christ. She was a woman who literally was in the crack house, and God has brought her to the state house where she can represent Jesus well. It's an incredible story. Please welcome Lisa Kratz Thomas.
Okay, let me get set up here. Wow, what a atmosphere of the Lord. Can you feel it? I can. It's just, there's nothing like it. It takes you away from the worries of the world. It just fills you up. It's just amazing. You know, I'm an ordinary girl, but I serve an extraordinary God. And I do have some exciting good news. I became a Glammy at 12:10 last night to my very first granddaughter, grandchild, Avery Grace. So I am here celebrating and thanking God for the miracle of life. And once you hear my story, you'll know that it's definitely a miracle. And chains are being broken, and generational curses are being broken, and God is showing up. That's all I can tell you. So today, I want to talk to you about the blood of Jesus and our testimony. You know, we've all been hurt, haven't we? We've all been selfish and stubborn. We've experienced shame and guilt, and a lot of us downright evil. Downright evil. But the key to victory is found in Revelation 12:11. It says that we overcame him, Satan, the evil one, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and the word of our testimony, us. In a world that is searching for truth, I mean, look around. People don't know who they are, what they are. They're searching for truth. God has given us a clear path to victory. And that is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifices. And it's also through us sharing and expressing our testimony. And what's our testimony? It's when we said no to our way of life and yes to Jesus. And it doesn't stop just there. That's the great thing. Your testimony follows you all through life. And it's a beautiful thing. I'd like to share a little bit about how I was before I met the Lord. I was living in misery and pain and deception. Romans 1:28 and 29 says, the truth about deception is this. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. See, the thing is, when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. A lie becomes a truth, and then that truth becomes your reality. And how many of us know that if you hear a lie long enough, whether it's true or not, we accept it? The enemy's job is to distort, to manipulate. And he gives society solutions that really cause them to be broken. I'd like to start with a story. I believe that stories change lives, and I think stories can even save lives. Jesus used a lot of parables. It's relatable. So I'll start with this. Once upon a time, there was a little girl, 5 years old. She lived in a modest brick home with her parents and three baby brothers. Every day, she would leave the elementary school, walk across the playground, through a field, and over a bridge that connected two sides of a brook. One day, she stopped, and she looked in the water, and she thought, if I fell in, nobody would miss me. And her second thought, I think, which is even more devastating, is if I fell in, the world would be better off. Those are deep thoughts for a young girl, troubling thoughts. But you see, this is where it all begins. It doesn't begin out there. It doesn't begin on TV. It doesn't begin in politics. It doesn't begin in any of those things. It begins in our mind. The battlefield is right here in our mind. This little girl grew into an outgoing young woman, but she felt so absolutely insecure about herself. She felt unloved. She felt shame. So when the opportunity to escape presented itself, she took it. How many of you all know about escape? I can tell you I do. Our warfare is not with other people. Our warfare is with spirits and principalities. So when you come up against something, it's not that person. It's the spirit that lives within that person. I love when we were talking about warfare. We have to know how to fight that thing. We have to stand up and fight it. The devil begins to bombard our minds with suspicions, doubts, fears, and theories. How do I know so much about that little girl? Because that was me that stood on that bridge many, many years ago. And I can tell you, I always had this perception that God made two kind of people. He made good people and he made bad people. And I happened to be one of the bad people. See, what I heard in my mind was, Lisa, you're a bad, bad little girl. And what the enemy does is he sends circumstances and situations that promote those things to make you believe it. So I thought there was something wrong with me. And I thought when you all found out, now this, I'm a kid. When you found out what I was really like, that you would run as far away as possible. So what do when we have those feelings? We find a coping mechanism. And if you think you don't have one, just check your eating, check your shopping. You don't have to be a full-blown drug addict or alcoholic to have a coping mechanism. And I'm not saying that all coping mechanisms are wrong, because sometimes they lead us to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, which is okay. But my first coping mechanism was lying. And I can tell you, I would lie when the truth was good enough. I mean, if you asked me how old I was, I'd subtract a year or add a year. If you asked me where I lived, I'd give you the wrong address. And I figured out later the reason why I did that was because for that very short period of time, I control you. We had a conversation about that this morning, about control, about in our world, people just want to control. And I had this satisfaction that I could control what you thought about me because, see, I felt so bad about myself. But coping mechanisms are like whack-a-mole. When you get one that's working, it stops, and another situation comes up, and you have to hit that one down, and you're constantly changing. What can I do? What can I do? So I went from lying to drinking. And I can remember when I twist the cap off that bottle of wine, and I took a big swig of it, half the bottle. When that alcohol hit my body, honey, everything was all right with the world. I wasn't a bad little girl anymore. I was 6 foot tall and bulletproof, and you couldn't tell me any different. Again, I was always searching for that next high, that next thing, that next level to take me out of the walls of my mind. So I started smoking pot. And then naturally, with alcohol and pot, I'm going to keep this a G version, I started to have relations at the age of 14. When you think about that, 14 years old, I gave away one of the most precious and valuable gifts that God gave me. And I treated it like taking a Renoir out of the frame and turning it into a doormat. I gave it away freely, and it cost me greatly. Well, again, this stuff was just keeping me at bay, and I wanted to be out. I didn't want to think about it. I wanted to be on it, be beyond it. I met a man who was very controlling, and he liked to party the way I liked to party, and we started smoking crack cocaine. And I can tell you that was the beginning of the end for me. You know, I could say I hate drugs, and I do, but I think that if I hadn't had them, I think I probably would have blown my brains out because I was so miserable inside. I felt so unworthy. And this was something that took me out of myself beyond. I didn't care about the circumstances. I didn't care about the consequences. I was going to get high and escape at any cost. And it was a high price, let me tell you. See, when you get a freedom through something else, it's a false sense of freedom. And you get it through rebellion. I was rebelling against God. I was rebelling against my parents. And I was rebelling against society. But it doesn't last because it's not real. What does Proverbs 3:5 say? Lean not to your own understanding, right? Your understanding is not going to support the things that you want to do. Staying high is very expensive, but it's not as expensive as the price that you pay for that sin, I can tell you. Very shortly, we ran out of money, and my boyfriend started to pimp me out, and I became a prostitute on the streets of Washington, D.C. I lost so many pieces of my heart. Because every time you're with somebody in an intimate situation, don't think you can just get up and walk away. Because you leave a piece of your heart with that person. And then when you find a person you want to marry, that you want to spend your life with, you got to go back and collect all those pieces of your heart that you left all over the place. This is why God says not to have relations before you get married. It's not to punish us. It's to preserve us for the marriage bed. Well, as a prostitute and as the life that I was living, I was pregnant multiple times. And I had multiple abortions. And I can tell you that pain stayed with me for years. That's why when I said today, chains are being broken, babies are being born. God's so faithful, isn't he? He's so faithful. I just could find no peace. There wasn't anything that got me high enough. There wasn't anything that took me out of my thinking. And I just wanted the pain to stop. So I had one suicide attempt. It was emotional. It contributed to more shame and to more guilt. So the thing that I thought was going to help me escape didn't help me escape at all. It just added to the rejection that I was carrying around. Well, not long after that, I was arrested for a check writing scheme. And I was thrown into jail. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me, I can tell you that. It was the first time in over 10 years that I was clean. I had no alcohol, no drugs. I had nothing, no mood-altering substances running through my body. And, you know, sometimes there's two kinds of time. There's Kairos and there's Chronos. And Chronos is the time on the wall. It's the clock. And Kairos is that time in the spirit. It's almost like what we experienced when we walked up here today. It's like it stands still. God is there. And so I can tell you, I didn't do much while I was incarcerated. I was planning my next high. I walked out of the doors of the jail. I met my pimp boyfriend. I walked across the street to the Pizza Hut. We drank a pitcher of beer. I wrote a bad check. And we were back at the crack house in 2 hours. And shortly after that, I was getting my head beat in. I had broken ribs. I had fractured eardrum. I had broken arm. I was beat pretty regularly. People say, well, why would you go back to that? Because, see, like attracts like. That's why you have to be really careful who you hang out with. It's okay to minister, but who's in your inner circle? Who's there? Who's supporting you? It's so important. So I ended up walking out of that crack house. I sat on the curb and I looked up and I said, you know what? If you're real, either do something or you take me, because I cannot live like this anymore. And that's when I found 12-step recovery. And in 12-step recovery is where I learned to surrender and to repent and to give forgiveness. And it's where I gave my life to Jesus Christ. See, I saw people who had a loving God, and I realized that God did love me. He did. And that I was a masterpiece. And that I was one of a kind, that there was nobody else like me. And that if people ran from me, well, that's okay, because he still loved me. It wasn't long after that that I met my husband, Tom. We've been married 34 years. That's right. And listen, you just heard what I told you. The fact that I have been faithful to my husband for 34 years is a total psychic change that occurred in my thinking, because he's valuable to me, very valuable. And it was in his perfect timing that that happened. He always, if we let him choose the people that he wants in our life, in our spouses, it turns out way better than we could have ever imagined, trust me. So God just doesn't waste anything. I was sober, I was married, but I was longing for children. See, when I had my abortions, there were no sonograms, there were nothing to identify what was going on inside of you. Not an excuse, just what was going on. I was told clump of cells, mass of tissue. I was also told that if in my spirit, if you do this, this will give you freedom. You won't have responsibility. You'll be able to live your life the way you want to. And every month when I was married, the enemy would say to me, you'll never be a mom. 3 years went by, and I thought, isn't it just like him? The very thing that he promised would give me freedom has kept me in bondage. See, that's how the enemy works. He gives you false solutions and false sense of freedom. So I heard, I was standing in the middle of this storm, and I cried out to God, and I heard the enemy say, you will never be a mother. And God wrote me a love letter. I got up and I penned it, and he said, your children are in heaven with me awaiting the arrival of their earthly mother. And I have to tell you, I was free. God didn't just give me a repayment. Honey, he gave me a twofold recompense for my former shame, okay? I have two children, not just one child, two, Lily and Stephen. But let me tell you something. The battle always continues. It's like an onion. When you peel back the skin on an onion, there's always another layer underneath. So that's the reason why we have to be ready for battle. Lily was my firstborn. She was my restoration and my regeneration. And what does regeneration mean? It means bringing something that was dead back to life. See, I thought my womb was dead, but God said, no, I'm going to bring it back to life. I had a loving husband. I had two God-loving children. I had a beautiful home, godly friends. God allowed me to open a home for women that were transitioning from incarceration back to society. I did serve on a Senate subcommittee that studied reentry and got 3 bills passed in the state of Virginia when I couldn't even vote. Okay, I hadn't even got my voting rights back yet. And I was, and God put me in a position to be able to submit laws to help those that were incarcerated. I've written 3 books. I've got a high school education, okay? I mean, I'm no literary genius. I just put on paper, and when you read my books, it's just like I'm talking. And you know, my friend said, that's what editors are for, Lisa. You don't have to worry about your commas and your breaths. It's all good. I've been a subcontractor with Department of Corrections in Virginia for 13 years. I go in and I teach a reentry seminar to men and women, and it is absolutely, it's been the joy of my life for many years. I've been on the 700 Club with Pat Robertson before he passed away. And bless Pat's heart, I think he forgot we were on TV. I mean, I was supposed to be on for 3 minutes, and I was on for 13. As Neil said, I was able to speak at Liberty Convocation. I speak all across the country for fundraisers, for pro-life and recovery. And I tell you this because you heard what I told you before. This is part of my testimony. This is what God can do. But have you ever had a single moment in your life that can transform your destiny? One moment in time can change everything. Things were going good. I was rolling. I was happy. I mean, we were just living the life, working in ministry. But then Kronos time reared its ugly head. And my daughter, Lily, who was 21, was diagnosed with primary sclerosing cholangitis and had to have a liver transplant, a living donor. She was 21 years old. She had that liver transplant at University of Penn, and we live in Virginia. So just think about that. For the past 10 years, she has had nothing but drains, tubes, hospital visits, probably 50 hospital visits last year. Her dreams were dashed, her hope was delayed. And as it says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. 10 years later, now, I felt like I was standing in the middle of the biggest storm that I had ever encountered in my life. The waves were crashing, and I felt overwhelmed by evil. I heard the enemy again whisper, "You're not strong enough for this storm." And you know what I whispered back? "Honey, I am the storm. I am the storm. My identity doesn't come from you. My identity comes from God. I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed. I've been chosen. I am loved. I'm powerful. I'm strong because of the Holy Spirit. He's my provider, my healer, my counselor." See, you got to start saying this stuff to yourself. That's part of your testimony. Who is he to you? He's everything to me. Everything. God pulled me out of the darkness I was in to be a warrior for my daughter, Lily. Because, honey, I know how to fight. I'm like, sometimes you could better watch out, because if you say something to me, the ghetto's going to come out in me. I mean, I'm going to come at you. I'm going to come at the enemy just fiercely. I know how to fight. I know how to use the word. I know that the breastplate is for righteousness and that it protects organs. How coincidental is that? I mean, when you start reading this stuff and thinking about your life and looking at what God's doing for you, it's absolutely amazing. It's amazing. From devastation comes regeneration. Does regeneration mean no more battles? Nope, it doesn't. But I can tell you this, the will of God will not take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. So wherever you are, if you feel like you're overwhelmed, trust me, God will give you the solution. It's in his word. Now my sweet Lily, 31 years old, needs another liver transplant. She's never had the chance to really live. She's been tied to tubes and hospital beds. And we need a living donor. And I've got cards for anybody that wants to know more about it. Liverforlily.com. I know God has someone for her. I know God's going to heal her. She's got a testimony that far outweighs anything that I've ever been through. But God is good. He is good. You know, if you can't remember what God has already done in your life, you're not going to be able to see the future that he has for you. If you're not grateful for where he's brought you from, it's going to be difficult for you to walk forward. God created us to live, not die, to be more than conquerors in Christ. It's never too late. It's never too late. God always will give you another chance to love, to dream, to find your purpose and your destiny. When we talk about testimony, I have to tell you that yesterday I had to make 2 trips to Walmart from where I was staying. And it's about a 25-minute ride each way. And I was so mad at myself that I did not get what I needed the first time I was there. I'm like, what is wrong with me? So I go back and go in, and I'm standing in the electronics, and I'm looking for a smartwatch charger. And I asked the young lady there, I said, I always get one for $10. I said, will this work? She goes, it may not. See how many have been brought back? They've all been opened. She said, let me show you another one. Okay. Well, we start talking. Where are you from? Why are you here? Because I said, I'm from in out of town. And before you know it, I was sharing my testimony with her. She said, well, I'm going to school to be a social worker. And I said, well, where do you go to school? Okay, y'all. She said, Liberty University online. Okay? I mean, come on. You cannot make this stuff up, okay?
And I said, well, I actually spoke at convocation, and I gave her my card, and I gave her one of Lily's cards. She walked me to the front door, and she grabbed my hand, and she said, thank you so much. You just reinforced what God wants me to do. See, it was just out of the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. I'm not afraid what you know about me. Trust me. I've written 3 books about it. If it ain't in there, it's because I forgot about it. God has transformed my life. And not only my life, he can transform your life as well. Lamentation says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope that the steadfast love of our Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Your story matters. It matters. You don't know who's living in sin or who's struggling that needs to hear what God did in your life. They need to see a Jesus with skin on. Does it mean you have to be perfect? No, it's impossible for us to be perfect. But we should keep striving to be. We should be examples that when somebody comes around us, they feel something different. They see something different. And all that is surrender. I love what our founding father, Thomas Paine, said. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet, we have this consolation with us. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. That's what I'm talking about. The deeper the hole you're in, when you come out, the more you praise God. I can't hear a praise song and sit down. I mean, I don't know what I am. I mean, I go running around the house and screaming. I'll be in the car. I'll be walking my neighborhood. I mean, it's absolutely who you become. And there's so much joy in it. And trust me, some of the things that we're going through in our life, my husband and I are in our, quote, golden years. But I thank God that we're well enough to take care of my daughter. I thank God that we are able to do that, that she's not alone, that she doesn't feel like a burden. Your story matters. Your identity is not rooted to external factors. It's rooted in your relationship with Jesus. He gives you a strong foundation. Be somebody's miracle. Be a mentor. Be a discipler. Be a donor. Be a truth changer. And a world changer, a truth teller and a world changer. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, humbled by the truth of your word, that we overcame not by our strength, but by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony. We thank you, Jesus, for the cross that shattered the power of sin, shame, and death. Thank you for the blood that covers every failure, every regret, and every wound. You don't define us by our past, God, but by your grace. I remember the days of deception, when the lies were my truth, and when I lived in so much shame and with so many secrets. Jehovah El Roy, the God who sees. You saw me at 5 years old standing on that bridge, broken. You saw me in addiction and pain in jail, on the streets getting beat up. And you rescued me, Lord. You came into the darkness and you whispered, daughter, you are mine. You gave me beauty for ashes. Thank you for the restoration. Thank you for healing my wounds. Thank you for my husband, my children, and my precious new grandbaby that I get to meet this week. Even when the enemy said I was disqualified, you said, watch what I can do. Lord, even now in this storm of chronic illness and uncertainty, you remind me that I'm not the storm's victim, that I am the storm because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Even when dreams are delayed and hopes are distant, you are near, Lord. Oh, you're so near. I pray for the one today who feels so far gone or broken. Let my testimony spark hope in them. Remind them you're still writing their story and it's never too late. Your blood still speaks. If they're breathing, you are not done. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Lies are silenced. Chains are broken by grace and we stand victorious in you. Maybe there's somebody here today that can relate to the pain that I walked through and the bondage that I was in and the shame and the guilt. Maybe you're holding secrets that you've never told anyone. Secrets make you sick. I encourage you today, the only way that you can rid yourself of that is to ask Jesus into your life. And not just ask him in, but let him change you. Let him change you. Here we are at a place where that can happen. You can be baptized in a few weeks. Oh, I'm telling you, as a woman who has lived a crazy life, who lived all in the ways that society said would be the way to go, I've never been more excited. I've never been more high. I've never had more joy. I've never been freer than when I let Jesus control and provide my destiny and I walk along the path that he has given me. I pray that y'all have a blessed day, and I pray that those who are struggling would just surrender. It's so much easier. It's so great, and it's so freeing. God bless y'all.
We're just going to close out this morning with one more song. Of the goodness of God, I will. been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. You know, Lisa's story, in one sense, is unique to her, but it is not unique to us when we consider the reality that each one of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Our sin looks different, but it isn't how much or how little you or I have sinned. It's that we sinned at all. The Bible says our sins have made a separation between us and God, so he's hidden his face from us and he does not hear. But I want to remind you that that sin which separated us is also the chasm that caused God's heart to long for the people that he created to be in relationship with each and every one of us. And his goodness has been running after us all the days of our life. Some of us have been running from God, thinking that if he ever caught us, he'd punish us. John 3:17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world or punish the world or pass final judgment on the world, but that the world would be saved through him. He's been hunting us down all our life because he wants to tell us how much he loves us. He wants us to know you don't need to run anymore. What I have for you is good. I've got freedom and I've got forgiveness. Luke chapter 7 talks about the woman who was forgiven much. And what was her response? She loved much. Lisa's not crazy. She's excited about her relationship with God because she's been forgiven much. She understands what Jesus did for her. And you might say, well, you don't know the situation I'm in. I don't know how to get out of the situation I'm in. And I would say, well, I don't know your specific situation, but I can tell you this, that Jesus said, I'm the way out. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And if we desire a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, we can't get there except through the person of Jesus. That's what the Word says. And so I just wonder, as you've been listening today, thinking about your own situation, we might try to compare ourselves to Lisa and say, well, I've never done the things she did exactly. I've done stuff wrong. I get that, but I never really did what she did. Doesn't matter. We're separated from God because we sinned at all. We've been rebellious against him our entire lives, and he's inviting us into relationship with himself. Jesus paid it all. Jesus took our punishment so we don't have to. And we can have the forgiveness that Jesus offers. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes as I finish in prayer. And I wonder how many hearts are being spoken to today. How many of you have felt like you've tried just about everything? I'm not talking about religion here. I'm not talking about going through the motions of religious stuff. I'm talking about how many of you have ever stopped running and turned around and said, Jesus, it's time for you and I to get to know each other. It's time for me to say yes to your love and your grace, your mercy, your goodness, that mercy that's new every single morning. Lisa was quoting Lamentations chapter 3 there. God's mercy is new every morning. I thank God that his mercy was new this morning. We have breath in our lungs. We have a heartbeat. We have the opportunity to know and love the God who has loved us all along, who gave his very life for us. And it said, would you please just stop running and say yes to me? And with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, I wonder if you would just slip your hand up if you're like, I want to know that God. I want to know the God that can set Lisa Kratz Thomas free. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be bashful. Thank you, Jesus. Just stick your hand up. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. God is so good. He's so good. Lord, you're the King of the universe. Who are we? Except we were created in your image. You love us. We were separated from you by sin. You came to rescue us. That's the story of the gospel. A baby born in a manger who came for one purpose, and that was to die a horrible death on the cross, taking the punishment of our sin upon yourself so that we could know you. That's the grace of God on steroids. And I love that Lisa's grandbaby is named Avery Grace. There's not a more beautiful word on the planet. God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. We receive it today. I thank you for the 8 or 10 that lifted their hand this morning to say yes to you. There may be others just bashful to lift their hand, but Lord, you know hearts, and you know which ones this morning for the first time said, I'm stopping. The race is over. I stop. I'm turning around. By the way, that word in the Bible is repentance. It just means to stop doing the things we were doing, to stop moving away from God and finally say yes to Him. Lord Jesus, I receive you. I'm opening the door of my heart to you. Come on in. I want to know you. If you love me that much, I want to surrender my life to you. Come on in and change me from the inside out. I don't want to live this way anymore. God, thank you for taking Lisa from the streets. Breaks my heart. Mary and I only know her, God, through the time when she was a follower of you. It breaks our hearts to even imagine what she went through. But you preserved her. You've preserved each one of us, and you've been following after us lovingly, not stalking us, just pursuing us. You've been pursuing us because you are full of goodness. Thank you for running after us, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Just a quick reminder that if you plan to stay at the beach and you haven't paid, please pay. I just need to say that. But thank you for saying yes to Jesus. We had an opportunity this morning to let the Holy Spirit speak to hearts, and there's probably some others that didn't raise their hands. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to talk to any of you. And if you're interested in being baptized on August 17th, or to talk or pray with any one of our volunteer staff, just come on over here behind this tent where I'm speaking to you on the other side of these rocks, and we'd love to spend a little bit of time getting to know you. Next week, Pastor Tim Clausen, Darren mentioned him earlier, and Jeremy Droppert. These are guys that are involved with the ministry of Man Up. Pastor Tim will be sharing next week here at Church on the Beach. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. And let's continue to pray for a liver for Lily. God, provide that liver in Jesus' name. Liver for Lily, LILY.com. God bless you.